Far Away Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 181 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden. And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Eric Anderson of the band Cataldo will be joining us and previewing some yet-to-be-released tunes that are coming out March 4th of this year on a new Cataldo album called Gilded Oldies. I am so stoked about this album, you guys. Oh, my God. I think you're really going to love it. It's a very nostalgic-sounding music to me. There's something about it. There's something about it that kind of reminds me of the 80s a little bit. Maybe it's the horn section, but we'll be playing some of that here real shortly. So I hope you guys really dig it. I think you will. If you're a music lover, I think you're going to really dig this stuff. Cataldo, man. Who knew? I didn't know anything about Cataldo until we had Matt Beatty of the band Ruler on, who is also in the band Cataldo. And he previewed some of the stuff and introduced me to Eric. And great dude. Great dude, great conversation. So stick around for the whole thing. All right. Right at the top here, extend a huge congratulations to Air Raid Podcast alumni, Macklemore himself, Ben Haggerty, and Andrew Jocelyn, who has most recently been on the show, who plays coordinates the string section and plays violin for Macklemore on tour and in studio and all that. I've seen it on Facebook tonight. I haven't seen the Grammys tonight, but it looks like they won a Grammy for Best New Artist. So that means everybody in the band, gets a Grammy. So congratulations to those dudes, man. Air Raid alumni, people. Walking home with at least one Grammy tonight that I know of. I'm sure they will be walking away with much more. They were nominated. Macklemore was nominated for many Grammys tonight. So I'm sure they're getting they're winning each category that they were nominated for. I mean, that's just, man, that is so cool. I don't know, I can't associate myself. I have no bearing on whether or not they won a Grammy, I don't think, because our audience is fairly limited. But, that's pretty rad. That is pretty rad. We have talked to Grammy-winning artists on this show. We've also, man, come to think of it, we have talked to Sundance sweetheart, Lynn Shelton, director Lynn Shelton, who is coming out with another awesome movie called Laggies, which just did an amazing job at Sundance and got bought, I guess, for like $2 million. So congratulations to her. Man, Air Raid alumni. Marco Collins, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame DJ. He's been on the show. Jeez, we've done some cool stuff on this show, folks. You know what's going to happen here. I'm just going to roll right into a plug, right, for our own website, www.air-raid.net. You can check out the archives page with all past 181 episodes with people like Macklemore and Lynn Shelton and Marco Collins and the Presidents of the United States of America and Mudhoney and Eddie Pepitone and Mike Birbiglia and Surfer Blood and all that great stuff. Red Fang, who was just recently on Letterman. Awesome. That's rad, right? Yeah, totally. It's all there for your listening pleasure, and it's all free, folks. And part of why it's free is because we've got sponsorship from the lovely people at Naked City Brewery here in North Seattle. If you haven't tried their beer, I really urge you to do so because, you know, I used to be a huge beer guy, used to be a big beer fanatic, kind of dropped out of it a little bit, became a whiskey fanatic. Now I'm getting back into the beers, man. And I tell you what, it's because of Naked City. They have got some of the best beer on tap here in the city of Seattle. And I would venture to guess in the Northwest. I am a huge fan now of their Crossfire IPA, which is just fantastic. And the now it's slipping my mind. What's that freaking thing called? God darn it. Now I'm going to have to look it up, right? I'm going to have to look it up. Now I'm looking it up. The Duplicity. Duplicity, folks. That one. Super into that as well. Abbey style Belgian double or Dubel, however you say that. Yeah, super, super great place, guys. And that's where we're doing our first ever live show coming up March 29th. And as far as we know right now, it's going to be free. It's going to be free to the public. So, get geared up for that and come early. It's going to be at 9 o'clock p.m. March 29th, which is a Saturday. And it's going to be a great show. We're not going to announce who's going to be on the show yet, but it's all lined up, and some great, great people are going to be there chatting with me and playing some music and also doing some stand-up comedy. So it's going to be really great, guys, and I hope you can make it. It is going to be free. Get there early, March 29th, live Air Raid podcast, first ever. A little nervous, to tell you the truth. But I think it's going to be great. I did want to talk about something really quick before we get started with this episode with Mr. Eric Anderson, the wonderful Mr. Eric Anderson of the band Cataldo. I did want to talk about something that's been a little bit, it's been on my mind, guys. Been on my mind. My daughter. My daughter is turning 3 in April. She is the best thing in my life. I love her so much. I never knew I had that type of love in me, right? I'm sure every parent would say the same thing. Like, you don't, especially a dad, like, you're never, ever connected to something as you are to your own child, right? And I was a little scared about having a daughter just because I've never experienced, you know, I never had a sister. I know women, I like women, I'm friends with women, but I've never raised a woman before. And so, you know, I had these, you know, thoughts on how it should go, right? I didn't want my daughter to be a girly girl. I think that's, for lack of a better term, it's cliche to be a girly girl, right? That sounds really pretentious. That's not the right word, but it's everything's pink and she's playing with dolls and she's kind of, you know, into things that kind of objectify women in a certain way. And I know that sounds hippy dippy. That sounds like, you know, kind of stupid. And I realize that. I totally realize that. That's why I don't talk about it a lot with people. Although, it's been coming up lately because she is getting into all that stuff. And I don't know how. We've really cultivated a life for here at the Roden household that's gender neutral. You know, we want her to be into what she's into, right? She's really into fire trucks. So we got her a fire truck for Christmas. Or Santa Claus did, quote unquote. And she loves it. She loves playing with her fire truck. She also loves playing with her kitchen set. And now she loves playing with this princess dress. She's always wearing this princess dress. She never takes it off. She loves it. And she dances like a ballerina. And she's getting really into pink things. Everything we buy has to be pink now. And I don't know where it's coming from. I think it's coming from the other girls at school, right? It's peer influenced on her. And this is what I was afraid of. I didn't want her falling into this stuff. We're careful about what we let her watch, right? Like, I haven't really let her watch some of the old Disney standards, like Cinderella or Snow White, because it always surrounds the girl is rescued by a prince, right? By a man. I don't want her to grow up the thinking that that's how life works. I want her to grow up thinking that she is strong. She is a strong individual, that she can do stuff on her own, right? That's how I want my daughters to grow up. That's right. Yeah. We're having another daughter. That's how I want them to grow up. I want them to know that they are strong people. And I was really happy to see the latest Disney movie that came out, Frozen, right? Has that message in it. The love comes from her sister, not a prince, right? She thinks it does in the beginning, and then the prince turns out to be kind of a douche. And, you know, she values the love of her sister rather than, and that's what saves them, right? Is the love, the sisterly love, the bond between siblings, which I thought was a great message. And it made that princess, or the character, the main character, seem very strong. She was a strong female lead. That's what I want for my daughter, right? So I'm afraid of her getting into this girly stuff. All these dolls and things like that that have crazy, like, I mean, I can see it right now. This is going to give my kid a really bad, body image issue, I think. Like some of these dolls, man, like they have really like skinny, like waistlines and then these long legs. And now like everything has these huge, huge doll eyes, right? These big, like stripper eye. They look like stripper eyes. They've got eyeliner around them and everything like that. It's driving me nuts. So I'm scared. I'm scared. And I would love to hear from you dads out there and moms if you guys feel the same way. I would really like to get people's reactions on this. This would be a great conversation to start in the air raid world. I would love to just, you know, hear from you. Nobody's going to really change my mind on this, and I'm not out to change anybody's as well. But I would like to hear your stance on it. So, send me an email, Aaron, that's A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net, and we can start the conversation here in the next couple episodes if we get some email concerning that stuff. Hey, we've got a lot of new listeners to the show. We'd just like to welcome you guys. This is how the show goes. I spout a bunch of nonsense for a little while, and then we get to the interview. So I hope you enjoy it. That's all I got to say. You can also find us, Air Raid Podcast, on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. And, you can follow us in those places and get all the news and all the little quips and jokes and pictures and stuff like that that we post up there of the shows and pertaining to the world of Air Raid. So please do that. Like us on Facebook and suggest us to your friends and your family, right? I mean, it's a great show. We do swear on here a little bit. Sometimes the topics are a little bit outlandish and a little bit more for the adult variety, but it's a great show. So let your tiny children listen to it. No, don't do that. That's a bad idea. You would be a bad parent if you do that. Don't do that. But do tell your friends and rate the show on iTunes. We've got a couple new ratings up there. Thank you to whoever did that. But it takes 5 seconds. Just give us a little five star rating on the iTunes. Helps out in the end. Okay, let's do it. Sorry, went on a little long here in the beginning, but we're getting to it here. We're featuring music off of Cataldo's new record, which is yet to be released, Gilded Oldies. This song is called I keep on reading my handwriting wrong. It's awful. In Now and Then, great, great song. And this album, oh my God, it's so good. It's so good. In Now and Then by Cataldo. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears, with special guest today, Eric Anderson of the band. So stay with us, will you? All right. In Now and Then, Cataldo. Be back in a moment.
In a moment when it's not a struggle to trust her, you swing in provenance unknown, and the most that you can offer is a beating now and then. I'll be in now and then. Ooh, I'll be in. drapes across the trees. Rebecca, Rebecca, and every charming thing now. So if you're looking for the beast, if you ever want to suffer, should be in.
Yeah, man, you need to start. Well, you know, I mean, has that changed a little bit, though, like with the advent of like Bandcamp and things like that? Because you sent me a digital download.
Yeah. I'm by no means an expert on this, but the guy who is doing our radio promotion stuff, this guy named Dave Sanford, who runs Distiller.
Okay.
He still requested that we mail out physical copies of like 400 copies of it. Which to me, it's like, oh man, really? People aren't going to just like listen to this link. But if you think about the physical like routine of playing stuff on the radio,
oh yeah, totally.
That there would just be somebody who doesn't, you know, play stuff off their computer or whatever they pop
right,
the CD
right.
in and the whatever.
Well, a lot of the times too, and like I think I can speak on this a little bit. We've been doing this show for long enough, even though it's not entirely a real thing. But like,
it's so real. I'm here. It feels real.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what we try to do.
Yeah.
None of this equipment works.
Yeah,
this is just all fake. It's all fake. It's like the stuff you walk into like a furniture store and it's like just like an empty, it's like a plastic, like hollow TV.
Right. So,
you know?
And then later on, you're going to just, you're taking transcription this whole time. You're going to reenact the conversation.
Exactly. Do my best impression of you.
I feel like our speaking voices are in the same domain.
So, I could do it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. I won't make you right now. You're probably studying. This is what it's really for. You know?
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly.
All my mannerisms.
I feel like having the physical copy is pretty beneficial still for people like me because when you're on the go and you need to listen to something, you can always pop it into your CD player or something like that. But
yeah.
I guess, you know, I mean, people have MP3 players now and stuff like that too.
Yeah, I got my Rio all dialed up there in the car. Sounds really good.
It's like a brick.
My MP3 player. I don't know.
Isn't that still a thing?
Yeah, I think people who like have a ton of music still have one. Like they.
I just keep it on my phone. It's all on my phone.
No, me too. But like if you wanted like 200 whatever gigabytes or something,
true.
I think they still make the iPod Classic.
Do they?
Yeah, like with the
little roller thing?
You know, I
wheel?
Think so. Pretty sure.
No shit.
Or I don't know. I haven't really investigated the MP3 player.
I'll bet you
market.
They have just like iPod Touches now.
I know they have that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, we can look it up afterwards. Maybe buy one. We'll see.
MP3 talk.
Yeah.
In the backyard. Eric Anderson from the band Cataldo joining me here in the backyard studios. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. This is a big treat for me because you sent me your music. Well, first of all, let's tell a little bit of this backstory. We had Matt Beatty on from the band Ruler, and he also plays in your band.
Yes.
Right? And when we were done talking, he was like, you got to check out this new song that's coming from this band, Cataldo, that I play with. And he played me the song. It was, I think it was In Now and Then, right? And I was like, whoa, this is really good. It had this horn section on it and everything like that. And I was like, I've never heard of these guys before. They must be new. No, you guys started back in 2005. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that's when our first record came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. That's crazy. But still, to get back, I sidetracked myself, I think, right there. But And then he introduced us on the Matt introduced us on the web,
the internet,
the
yep.
World Wide Web, mm-hmm. And you sent me this new record, and it's phenomenal.
Oh.
I have not stopped listening to it. It's been on heavy rotation, and I hope you don't mind, but I've been showing it to other people.
Great,
as well.
That if that's my hope and dream.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
and wait,
everybody,
thank you.
good. Good things to say about it.
Cool.
As well.
Thanks,
yeah.
man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels exciting. I feel like we set out to do something kind of particular with the music and like achieved it. And I wasn't entirely sure. Like we played the show at Barboza not long ago.
Right, right.
And we played like one or two songs that anyone had really heard before, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. kind of all new music. And the show is different. Like I'm not playing guitar. The band's eight people. There's
what
one...
do you play? What do you play now?
I just
you're just singing.
Stand there and sing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
It is weird. It's good though, or it's scary. I mean, like the first thing
yeah.
that I physically do when I get on stage is move the mic stand out of the way. So like, there's no physical barrier between me.
How can you
and
do that? Is that like the first time? Okay, when was the first time you did that at a show?
It was the Barboza show.
It was the Barboza show?
Well, I mean, then basically the whole show.
Okay, yeah.
Without holding an instrument. And it was interesting because, of course, during rehearsal, leading up to it, I was not, you know, holding a guitar. I wasn't playing. I was doing the same thing. And I found that I got comfortable during it in rehearsal, and it was actually a really good barometer of how well the band was playing, like how comfortable or not comfortable I felt.
Right.
Because if you feel like you're just sitting there looking like an asshole, it sucks.
Yeah.
But if the band is playing really well, you just don't care about that. And it's all works fine.
Yeah.
And,
but what do you do with your hands?
Oh, man. I got some moves.
Do you?
I reach up in the air. I clench my fists and bring them down.
I can see that. I can see it in my mind right now.
Yeah, you can see it in the flesh, but I mean, we're not, this is radio people, I'm sorry. You're going to have to check out a show to really see the goods. But, no, it's been very funny, actually, people's, like, reaction that, because, I mean, okay, on the scale of singer-performers
mm-hmm.
and movement, I mean, I'm not, like, fucking James Brown.
You're not
or something.
Prince. You're not Prince.
Right, sure. Well, he plays a guitar a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's true.
But, or like Roger Daltrey. I was talking to my dad about this. That's
Roger.
What he said. From The Who, man.
Yeah.
I'm not swinging a microphone around. Nevertheless, it's like I do physically move my body to the music. You could charitably mm-hmm. describe mm-hmm. it as dancing at times.
Okay.
And people afterwards are like, oh my God, that is just crazy that you're doing that. And I'm like, this says a lot more about like, the sorry state of like the rock front man in Seattle that it is about me being like this like amazing like singer dancer. It's like,
yeah.
no. But
I can't even think of a band like a local band that has, well, I guess Pickwick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Galen, he doesn't play an instrument.
I've actually never, or I've seen them play at a, we did a tribute night for Jason Molina with them
mm-hmm.
and it was really mm-hmm. cool. It was like a, they were like this weird psych rock. They played super deep cuts.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. But I've actually never seen them like play. Yeah.
Oh, he's good, man.
Yeah,
he's
good.
Really
love
good.
The record. It's cool.
Yeah. God, who else just has a front man that doesn't play an instrument, though? I mean, it's not totally a thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think, I don't know. It does feel scary. But now we've done a couple of them. It feels normal. What mm-hmm. what was really making me nervous, I was actually talking to Marco about this before the show, is like I was talking about rehearsal, like sometimes it just feels effortless and it's cool, and sometimes it doesn't. And I was like, okay, is this just a 50-50 shot of if I'm going to feel like a butthead?
Yeah.
And I got up there and I realized that, oh yeah, there's like a room full of people here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the energy in like five guys in the band who I'm like, you know, again, like this once more with feeling and like people who are actually excited about seeing it. And so I haven't had much trouble conjuring my,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
So are you kind of like, I mean, do you write all the music then? You write all the, cause you have a horn section.
Mm-hmm. With this record, like I would say I wrote all the songs.
Okay.
I had a collaborator for the horn arrangement, named Hamafule J. Oluo.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
He
plays with Hey Marseille quite a bit,
and
right?
He has his own band called Industrial Revelation, or okay. IR, which is super good, and their record Oakhead is awesome and worth checking out. He'd be a good guy to get in here.
Yeah,
He's also like super funny. He like writes into stand-up comedy. He's like one of these.
I've heard.
Yeah, he's a good dude and a very interesting person. Period. Anyway, so
cool.
he and I collaborated on the horn arrangements. And he did just amazing work in that regard. And then bringing people into the band live is pretty much you played on the record.
Yeah.
We did a little bit of recording with Martin Fevrier, I believe is how you say it. I don't know. Fever year? I don't know. We didn't get introduced on a last name basis.
right, yeah.
At Jupiter. And then little bits and bobs with Sam Anderson, also from Hammer.
Oh, cool. Say. Yeah, totally.
And then I do my little overdub thing, and then we mix the record with Tucker Martin, who's like a badass superstar producer engineer in Finland.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I you know, after I heard this new album, I had to go back and check out your older stuff.
Yeah.
And all very, very good. But this new album, man, there's something about it that like it reminds me. It kind of reminds me of the 80s a little bit. Some of the songs on there are very nostalgic for me.
Cool.
And I think it's like the combination of the synth and the horn section.
Yeah.
In some parts there.
Well, I wanted the sort of like mission or like thing I wanted to try is I wanted to have a lot of the percussion parts be not really sounding like a drummer playing a drum kit, but have them be like compositionally more similar to like a pop or R&B drum part, which can usually be described as like a kick drum and a snare drum, right? Like the boom and the bap.
Yeah.
And like the first song on the record, that's totally that way it starts out. And so, but I wanted to have really badass musicians playing them as opposed to programming them myself.
Yeah.
And so I think that to me is like one of the neat things about the album, and I think why it's maybe a little hard to place in time, because it's a modern percussion compositional technique, but an old style way of recording and playing, and we recorded it to tape.
Cool.
And so yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah I'm a huge fan. Yeah, you've got a huge fan right here. Shoot, I lost my train of thought. You know what I need to do, though? Is
what?
Turn on this heater.
Oh, yeah, you're getting cold? Okay.
The heat in this place just doesn't stay
regulated.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry. So, you said you started this project in like 2005. You started Cataldo in 2005.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I started recording.
It was just a solo thing, or what?
Yeah, like me and my friend Martin McGreevy, who I grew up with. He had like the interface, not dissimilar to what you have here. Actually,
yeah.
And a basement.
For people who don't know, it's the thing that you plug into your computer that acts as like the mixing board,
right?
Basically,
it turns the analog signal of the microphone into
digital
zeros and ones.
Yes,
yes. So now that we've covered that arresting topic, Martin and I. So I had these songs I've been writing as in high school, and over the course of, I guess, right after we graduated and parts of our freshman year of college, we were recording this album, and my grandmother, for some retirement-related, some financial reason, decided to give each of her grandchildren $1,000, which is a lot of money.
Wow. How old are you?
I'm 27 now, so I was 18 then.
You were 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
And up until that point, the idea of, like, making an album hadn't, like, occurred to me.
Yeah.
Or, like, physically producing it. And I was like, man, but, like, how much does it cost to, like, make these, like, physically make one? And I was like, well, I have this $1,000. So I could do that. And then from there, the idea expanded. I was like, well, I guess, how does one make an album? Like, there's someone, what are all these roles? And I was looking at, like, the credits on albums. I was like, okay, so there's a guy who's mastering. What is that? There's a guy who mixes it. And so, like, literally through just, like, looking at records I liked, I connected with Larry Crane, who runs Tapeop Magazine. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but
no,
He owns a studio in Portland called Jackpot. I think he's since moved around. We actually only did this one record with him, but so we took all this really janky stuff that we recorded in our basement, mixed it with Larry, who charitably like banged it out in a day and a half because he was like, "Oh, you're 18. I'm gonna do this really fast, so I don't charge you a bunch of money."
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
that's nice.
Oh, it was nice. I don't think he didn't. I wish I still had the invoice for that. It was like a very small amount of money, anyway. And then I pressed him and like a total guy who had no idea what he was doing, floundered around for the next 8 years and ended up here. Literally here in the garage or in the backyard. I was like emailing, like I was like, okay, so you play shows. It was just me, you know?
Yeah.
So there was no band at that point. And I was like emailing like,
now, was this a full album too? Like had like people playing drums and
there's drums on two songs.
Mm-hmm.
That like my friend who I went to school with played. And like it was like guys I knew in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, well, especially at the time, like having your solo thing have a band name was a thing that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what am I going to call this? And so I named it after the oldest standing building in Idaho, which is just a little ways north of where I grew up in Moscow.
Yeah.
So Cataldo, the Cataldo Mission. And I since deeply regret that for a number of reasons.
It's why?
You can't... if you see it on a piece of paper, you can't say it correctly. So it's like, oh, cattle do. Love your shit, man. Or when you say it to somebody, this is seriously... you know how when you ask someone what they do for a living?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's something kind of complicated or boring.
Right.
And their eyes glaze over, and they like say this thing that they've said 1,000 times. Like, this is that for me. Oh, you play in a band? What's it called? Cataldo, C-A-T-A-L-D-O. I literally, because inevitably people are like, what? What
do you
say?
Spell that?
Yeah, it's called Cataldo. Yeah, C-A-T-A-L-D-O. And so, which just makes me sound like I don't even know what. But
well, you probably get the question too, is like, oh, what's that mean?
Yeah.
Right? There's always got to be a meaning behind certain things.
Yeah, well, and if you were to read my bio from 2005 that I wrote, you would learn
that you haven't changed since 2005.
No, I've changed it. I mean, I've moved on to something else. But I was going to say bigger and better things, but who am I to say, really? I just thought it was a cool-sounding word.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was related to where I grew up, kind of. Retrospectively, what I said is... And what is true of the first record, I was taking things that were immediately around me, like this kid I grew up with, this other kid I grew up with, this album credit that I found the guy who did it,
mm-hmm.
and making something out of it, which is exactly what they did with that mission. It's actually a very interesting place if you get a chance to check it out. It's on I-90 if you're driving to Montana or whatever. They were like, they cut the lumber from right around there and built the thing. They made the chandeliers out of tin cans. It's like it's really beautiful. It ended up being in a way you wouldn't necessarily know that.
Yeah.
And I guess
that sounds really familiar. I've driven that. I've been on that stretch of highway.
Yeah, sure.
Many, many times. So I'm sure I've seen it.
They've since fixed the freeway, but it used to feel like you had a flat tire there.
Oh, really?
It used to feel like that. So often I'm describing where this is because, like, there was, like, some ripple in the pavement, so it just feel like, you know, when you get a flat tire and you hear that sound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so oftentimes we'll be like, you know where it feels like you have a flat tire on I-90 in northern Idaho? And we're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where that is. So anyway. So that's where the band name came from.
Yeah.
And then, like...
So where were you?
I grew up in Idaho.
I'm a little confused here because you said you were... You used some guy that was doing the recording down in Portland, right?
He just mixed the album. So
okay.
All the tracks were recorded in this basement.
Right. But he was still in Idaho at that time as well?
Larry, actually, he was based in Portland.
Okay.
And so I drove out there and
did that
with Larry. And so, yeah, then I went to college in St. Paul, Minnesota at McAllister College. And that was 4 years of kind of... I didn't feel super at home there. I enjoyed the school part, but I... went straight back to Idaho
mm-hmm.
every summer and break and was like working on music and then beginning to figure out how to play shows in Seattle and Portland.
Right. What was the music scene like in Idaho?
It was very supportive in my town.
Uh-huh.
It's a it's a college town. The University of Idaho is there.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So both within our high school, which had...
Where were you at? Where in Idaho?
Moscow, Idaho.
Moscow, okay.
Yeah, so right across the border.
Yep, yep.
And it was really cool. Like, we had this thing called Arts Fest, where... which, in looking back on it, is just miraculous that they did this, because I just don't know anything like this. They would shut down school for a two-hour assembly every day for a week. And you basically signed up, like, whatever you want to do. Like, do you want a salsa dance? Do you want to play your terrible music for everybody? Like, here's your 20 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
And that I wouldn't say that, like, set me on a path, but I do remember, as someone who is not, you know, a star athlete or whatever, I wasn't in
drama. You're kidding.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I'm very tall. Again, just made for radio, this conversation. Doing the 20 minutes of cover songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And being like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then the community of people who live there, like, we have a food co-op and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
is it a pretty liberal community?
Relative,
or is it like a mixture? I'm getting a sense, like, because I don't know if I've spent a lot of time in Moscow.
Yeah.
But like, Ellensburg, for instance, where I went to college,
yeah,
was a very, like, the separation
mm-hmm.
Between, you know, the local people that had grown up there, mm-hmm. and then more of the college-influenced people was very distinct, right?
Yeah.
There's a mix of horse people and cowboys, and then, you know, liberal-viewed college students.
Totally. Well, know? And that sounds like the exact same sort of dichotomy existed. It did not exist to me as a kid, because we had one high school, and growing up, I just didn't think about that,
right,
really. But looking back on it, the different people were culturally different in ways that I didn't realize until I left. It took, I remember, I guess, realizing that, like, on the relative scheme of things in our town, like, my parents are both academics, they're both professors at the university. I guess, like, we do pretty good financially. I just had this sort of sense of that.
Right.
And then I remember going to college at this elite liberal arts college and being like, holy shit, people are so rich here. It's crazy. And so I guess looking back on it, I realized the difference in culture or whatever. But I have to say, it was a small enough school that it did not feel like cliquey or like there was like the pickup truck kids and the acoustic guitar kids or something.
Uh-huh,
people were very nice and supportive of each other. Like, I went to the football games. These guys showed up to the rock show.
Yeah,
good. It was a good spot.
A healthy mix.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Totally.
Yeah. My high school, I feel like, was the complete opposite.
Oh, you guys.
It was like out of every damn 90s high school movie that you ever
Where'd
watched.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up over on the Kitsap Peninsula. So
okay.
Over in a small town called Indianola. And then I went to high school in Paulsbo, which North Kitsap High School,
mm-hmm.
which took like Indianola, Paulsbo, Kingston, Port Orchard,
right.
You know, all sorts of these different towns that were around there. And all took them and put them into one giant, giant melting pot of a high school.
Yeah.
And so it was all sorts of different cliques of kids.
Yeah, cliquey, you know? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that the difference there is that the geographically, if you live super far apart from each other,
it would be
easy to feel that, like, oh, like, I'm never going to walk by this kid's house or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah.
And Moscow, it was a town. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you could live out in the woods if you wanted to. Ironically, that's what a lot of the, you know, back to nature environmental science professors wanted to do. They wanted to go and live in a house.
They lived out in the hills.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, nothing wrong with any of those things. God bless them all. But it was a good town. So anyway, I grew up in Moscow, went to college in St. Paul, came back over the summers and breaks, and would like try and book. I mean, it's just hilarious looking back at some of these emails, some of which people are still in the game. And so it's funny to like,
uh-huh.
I can't believe I sent you this email in 2006. Like, hey, here's my band, like, listing bands I've played with that no one has ever heard of, you know, as if it would add some air of legitimacy to the,
uh-huh.
the enterprise.
Yeah.
I'm like, I built up, like, a pretty good set of, like, of, like, a electric solo something, can I please, like, play at the Blue Moon in this month-long range?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just not how you book a show. You don't even, like, you're like, do you have this date? Whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
The notoriously, a story I've told many times is that I played at the Blue Moon when I was 18, and I walked in, and I was carrying my electric guitar and my amp, and the first thing I noticed, it's like 4 o'clock or something, is everyone on the bar's belt, on the back of their belt, was a huge knife that I could see. And I was just like, and I'm just this kid, I'm like, dear God, what have I gotten myself into? They don't card me, which is great.
Yeah.
And so I'm like playing the thing, and at the time, it was just, I would play like Let's Get It On and just like weird, it was just a weird set. And then I was Googling myself afterwards, as one does, and the guy who booked the show, he had his own blog, and he was like talking about some conversation that he had with someone at the bar, like Petey or whoever. Like, yeah, he's basically saying it was really bad. Like, it was really bad, really bad. Petey says it wasn't the worst thing that's ever been here, but it's in the top 5.
Oh, my God. And this is the Blue Moon in the U.S. Here in Seattle?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So that was, there was a lot of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. But well, that's how everybody starts out, man. I remember I played at the Blue Moon for, like, 5 people, and we knew each one of them.
Yeah.
They were all girlfriends.
Oh, man, for everything, everything there is a season.
I played
at the Trabant Chai Lounge, what felt, in retrospect, to be innumerable times.
Uh-huh.
And college kids would go. It's hard when you're 18 if you get started that young, because you don't know anyone who can go to a normal rock club.
Right.
You just don't know that many people who are over 21 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year was that?
2005.
Okay. So there wasn't very many all-ages clubs around either. I know that the Vera was probably still there, but that's like one of the only ones.
There was that. There was, I think the Paradox existed at that point.
Paradox.
It was, I think,
man.
Again, it's not around, so I don't really know, but I think it was somehow affiliated with Mars Hill Church, which is terrifying to me now thinking about. But anyway, I never played there. But that existed. Mr. Spot's Chai House. I think that was in Ballard. And then there was something. Yeah. I emailed these people so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Just desperate, because there's nothing in it for them. Like,
please
give me a show. Like, stuff like that is just burned in my brain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a horrible feeling, too, especially when you, like, just, you know, that time you're laying in bed and you've got nothing to do but think about the past.
Yes.
And one of those, like, instances floods your brain, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, that happens to me all the time.
Yes.
I'll constantly think about stuff that I did as a kid or a teenager or even an adult.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, fuck.
I cannot believe I said or did that. No,
exactly.
Like, have you ever been in like a mild to mediate or intermediate like accident of some type, like a car accident?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then you'll like be thinking about it, and all of a sudden this like flood of anxiety will just like rush into you.
Totally.
And then you just need to like sort of, you know, ohm yourself out of it and be like, I'm here. That didn't happen. Everything is okay. Like, that's what these emails are like, except they did happen, and you cannot control Z.
Well, maybe you should delete these emails, dude.
I don't go back and look at them, like, weep, you know, every night, just like, I can't believe I said that, man. No.
I like picturing you having, like, a folder of, like, printed out emails that you have just held on to throughout the years.
Went to Kinko's, got them spiral bound, keep them under my pillow.
Well, Eric, let's do this. Let's go to our second musical break. This track is off of, let's see, what's that? Your last album.
It's okay, yeah.
2011.
Yeah, Prison Boxing.
Prison Boxing, that's what it's called. And the song is called Rock of Calvary. And we'll be right back with more from Eric Anderson of Cataldo, right here on the Air Raid Podcast. Stay with us, everybody. Where you once stood next to me. Just my type. You feel cooler on warmer nights. All right. There's always a fallout, a sometimes subtle shift.
sick, you see, an Indian kerosene still needs a spark to light up a scene. And antiquity is filled with little stones like you and me, cracked and burdened with meaning, like the rock of Calvary. A good deal of unrest. Of marigolds repelling scores of invasive insects to bats in a quick death. So why am I so surprised? I'm an aphid and you're a carrot fly. And even an evergreen can get sick.
Feelings of anxiety, though, is like that only exist in your mind.
Yes.
Right? You could be laying there, and like, for instance, I think it was just the other night, I was laying in bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. I've been having just a hell of a time trying to go to sleep lately. Huh. I don't know what's going on, but my mind is just like, bam, 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 bam. But I'm thinking about, like, this time in high school that I said something really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just to get some attention.
Yep.
It was like mostly just a joke, but it was still just so dumb.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting there thinking about it. I'm thinking about the way that people were looking at me when I said it.
Yep.
And how awkward it felt.
Yep.
And I'm like, and it's like I can feel the anxiety just building up in my body.
Yeah.
Until to the point where I need to get up and just like walk around the living room.
Yeah.
Right. And then to calm myself down, I was like, Aaron, nobody else remembers that.
No.
There's no way in hell that those people still remember that.
Yep.
Right? But, man, that's a hard realization.
That,
you know?
Yeah, anxiety about past misbehavior or just bad decisions, that's a good one to keep you up all night. Another mm-hmm. good one is anger or resentment.
Yes. Big time.
And both of these things only exist in your head. And the weird thing about the anger and resentment piece is like that person in that moment, whoever's making you angry or resentful or whatever, is controlling you. They're like controlling your emotions.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
You can either use that as like a justification to like let it go, or that can make you even angrier and it's like, God damn it. And it's all because
yeah,
of
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And so that's good. Can I tell you my trick for going to sleep?
Yes, please.
I was about to say drink yourself into oblivion, but that's a joke. Wait, my real trick is turn you have an iPhone or a smartphone.
Yep,
or some,
got a
some
smartphone.
Type. Turn it on the lowest volume setting and then stick it like either right under your ear or depending on the volume underneath your pillow and turn on just a random episode of This American Life. It works like a charm. Whenever you cannot go to sleep,
yeah.
You just tuck it in there, and it's so soothing. I mean, I'm out by, like, you know, the intro of the first story.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where I'm now nervous about, like, man, if I'm listening to this while I'm driving, like, this, you know, automatic
now
response.
It's going to be a trigger for you now.
Right.
So every time you listen to it, like, let's say you're on a city bus.
Yeah.
You're going to sleep past your bus stop. Dude.
Maybe. I hope not.
You're going to wake up at the bus barn.
I'm going to need to test that out. but, I mean, I'm sure that's and I'm in no way being disrespectful to Ira Glass's award-winning, amazing radio program, which I love. But
I do love that show.
It works.
That was a great show.
I don't understand. I feel the same way about that as I do about the New Yorker magazine. Like, how do they crank these things out? One a week. like,
well, because they have a whole team of people working on it.
And it's not, you know? Ira Glass, you know, on his bike recording people.
Exactly.
But, you know, because he always intros the stories and does, that's kind of the impression that you get listening to it. But, yeah, I'd be curious, I mean, just like the extent of those organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
It's pretty, you know, the longer I've done, I do this show, the more I learn about other people's, you know, the more I meet people that, you know, work in those fields. And that show has a team of writers and a even bigger team of people who go out and get content.
Right.
So, like, you can actually go onto, like, NPR's website and fill out, like, a, like, I want you to do this story on my family.
Right.
You know? And say, and they'll send you like a bunch of equipment, or they'll send a reporter out to help you make that story.
Oh, I heard.
So there's like, you know, you can, you know, there's a whole, they've probably got a backlog of just immense amounts of stories that have never even seen the light of day that could be around 10 years old that they still need to get to.
That's interesting, because it makes sense too how they, you know, they organize things based around a theme.
Right.
That, like, the other day I was on, I've been interested in the music licensing world because
BMI?
No, not like PROs that chase down money for, like, being on the radio.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
Like, can I be in your Ford commercial? That
world. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I want to make money. And so I was clicking around one of these websites, and they had organized things based around a mood or feeling.
Ah.
Or like the way the track worked. Like, did it build up? Was there one build? Was there two builds? Or whatever. So you could tell if you're like, well, in my commercial it's organized this way, and this is the sort of like, you know, feeling I want to evoke. And you could scroll through their whole catalog of music based on that.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, you know, This American Life does the same thing. Like, oh, this is kind of maudlin and related to illness. This is kind of funny, and then, like, do the organizational aspect.
Yeah,
know,
yeah. Oh, totally.
Months or weeks down the road.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
That's a, they probably do have some sort of category, because then they have to, you know, they model the whole show. Each show has that theme.
Yeah.
You know, which could be, I'm guessing that you could go back and, like, put multiple themes on some of these stories that they do as well.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
They could have multiple meanings in there, you know?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we figured it out.
Done. I want to get back to this. The something you said a little bit earlier about anger. Do you have much resentment in your life?
Almost none.
Is that something that you deal with?
Almost none. And when it happens, it is disruptive and weird.
Yeah.
I mostly feel like, I mean, obviously, on the scale of human existence, I've won the lottery, being you know, like, living in the year we live in.
Yeah.
And then in terms of just ease of, you know, going through my day, being a white man is pretty awesome. Which I only say in the sense that there aren't that many ways that the cards are stacked against me.
Right.
And I'm, like, economically, like, good. I, like, have a job. I, like, have a cool apartment. So I mostly feel very, you know, grateful and happy. And what I go back to whenever I'm feeling like...
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, totally. Indeed. but whenever I'm feeling like... The things that cause me anxiety are often related to my band. And just stick an ellipsis after that.
Mm-hmm.
Your band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, go fuck yourself if you're angry about, like, I didn't get this show. Like, guy's not...
Yeah.
Okay, that's not a huge problem. But that being said... And I don't have a lot of conflict with just people in my life. And so if there is ever, like, an argument at, like, work or something, it really messes with me. And, like, I really want to be liked a lot. And when I feel that someone does not like me, that'll stick with me for a while.
Yeah. Does that turn into anger?
It can.
Yeah.
But again, I'm Norwegian, man. I'm Scandinavian. I'm very mellow.
You're able to let that stuff go.
Yeah, I mean.
See, I'm German. I'm not able to let that stuff go. I don't know if that's like a German trait or anything. But World War II seems to be a sticking point on that one.
Yeah.
But like,
I was going to say, I can't really think back into German history of you. I'm like, oh, yeah, Hitler.
Yeah. He was pretty angry.
He was very upset about all manner of things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I had this conversation. I had a conversation with Marco, a mutual friend of ours, Marco Collins.
Yeah.
A little while ago. I don't even know if he would actually want me saying this, but like, the more you get invested into internet things, mm-hmm. like Facebook and Twitter and things like that,
yeah,
and you try to, because, you know, for people like us, that is our way of advertising ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the way you advertise your band. It's the way, you know, it's free advertisement,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
To get in touch with fans, feel like you're, you know, interacting with other people.
Yeah.
And, man, like, when you write something and it gets a very low number of likes,
mm-hmm.
or somebody takes it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, berates you for it or something like that in the comment section or something like that. Man,
yeah.
that stuff drives me nuts. And I can't get around it. Like, it feels so, when I look at it,
yeah.
like, at face value, it's so, it's just such a futile thing to be angry about or even give a second thought to, right?
Yeah. Well, there's two. The first thing is that if up until, I suppose, you're like Lindsay Lohan or whomever,
mm-hmm.
you get overwhelmingly positive responses to things because there's
yes.
no point in taking me down a peg. You know what I mean? And so there's like maybe, you know, 1% of things where someone's like takes something the wrong way or is
right,
like
right.
says anything negative at all. So you can go through, you know, however many, you know, 20 nice things people say. And then like I had this recently there, we were announcing our pre-order and I wrote this little blurb to go along with it that I thought was kind of thoughtful. And one of the things I said in over the course of this blurb was, like, I'm aware that, like, you know, of the relative importance of this in the scheme of existence, but also, fuck you all, it's a good piece of work, you know? And I'm trying to be flip, you know?
Right, right, right.
And someone, and again, like, I received...
Sarcasm does not transfer.
So someone was like, meetings. whoa, fuck you? Like, that's a weird thing to say when people are...
Yeah, yeah,
I forget
yeah.
the exact what they said, but
right,
I was like,
right.
God damn it, man. And that will eat away at me. So that's the first,
oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
the first thing. The second thing about like people like, you know, MP3 blogs or whatever, when people really do talk shit
mm-hmm.
in the comments.
Oh yeah. Big
I always think of that Louis C.K. bit when he's talking about why is he won't let his kids have smartphones.
Uh-huh.
And it's because of like the anonymous.
The one that he did, wasn't that on like Conan or Letterman or something? Maybe it was on Leno.
It was on, I think it was on
yeah.
a late night thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
and he's and because there's no feedback, like, mm-hmm. particularly if you're a child, but, you know, some of these MP3 commenters, at least they sound like they're children.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just like, this sucks. Or like, he looks terrible in this photo or whatever. They don't see the fallout, the reaction. If you said that to someone's face, you would never say that again.
Right,
because
right.
it's hurtful.
Yeah.
And people are generally... good, benevolent
mm-hmm.
creatures.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, that guy just would never say that to me. He, like, doesn't think that. Anyway, the amount of people who know about my band, I have not run into this problem very often, but I hope to soon. I hope to be enraged by this in the future.
You haven't made it until you've got some major haters out there, right?
Yeah.
So what I just need to keep telling myself.
Yeah. Just wait, man. Or, like, it's good that people hate you. That means you've made it. No, there was a I wrote some dumb thing about Twitter during the Republican National Convention.
Oh, God.
About, like, Clint Eastwood when he was talking to the chair. It
mm-hmm.
was just some
mm-hmm.
sarcastic, mean, you know,
right.
remark. And some random guy, I don't know how he found it, was just like, fuck you, man, like, really, really intense and angry. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, this is it. Like, this is my chance to get in, like, a feud with somebody.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was
Twitter
exciting.
War.
And
Twitter
I,
war.
I did. I feel like I won. Yeah.
I made... the reason I'm thinking about this is because I guess maybe I just need some advice on it from a person such as yourself.
Sure.
I wrote yesterday... I made a joke about all the people who use hashtag blessed in their Facebook and Twitter comments.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, for some reason, whenever I see hashtag blessed, I'm like, man, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, like, why? Explain.
You may be having a good day.
Yeah.
But shut the fuck up.
Okay.
I just find it annoying when people are just like, everything's going so goddamn good.
Right.
You know, like, my life is just the best.
Well, the sentiment, right? Or like what is said in the whatever tweet or Facebook
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the, like, spirit of it can be very different.
Cause well, definitely, yeah.
Because if
yeah.
someone was like a, got home and had a really hard day and, like, my partner was being such a nice listener to me. Hashtag blessed. I'd be like, that's really nice. Like, that's earnestly yeah, thankful. Yeah. But it's like, if it's like on the jet to Cabo, hashtag blessed.
That's what I'm talking yeah, about. Yeah, yeah. That's the thing annoying. I'm talking about. Because yeah. I do have, like, and I thought about this, like, and this is where I need the advice, is because I wrote that and I posted it.
Yeah.
And it got a response. And afterwards, I was like, you know what? You have a lot of friends out there that have used that in the past in not an annoying way.
Right.
And now you may have, like, hurt their feelings.
Sure.
You know? And so, oh, man. Fucking internet.
Yeah. Also, just well, here's the good thing and bad thing about, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, perseverating on some thing someone said on the internet or whatever. First of all, arguing on the internet just as a fool's errand.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
will
yeah.
not work.
Yep.
Yep. But is that it is vast and endless, and it will just disappear into the ether so quickly. Like your thing that you're like preoccupied with,
oh, yeah,
this blessed
yeah.
thing,
uh-huh.
like just give it, you know, not even 24 hours and it will be far enough in the past. The timeline of the books and tweets, it will just almost cease to exist is so far behind you. And it's not like there's going to be a collection of letters that is
yeah.
published.
Yeah.
After you die, or your diary, or whatever. It's just like, no.
Wouldn't that be great if, like, it's your funeral, and they just collect every Facebook post and Twitter thing that you've ever done,
yeah.
every Instagram, every Snapchat, and they just put it all in a book for people to see.
Oh, Lord.
And they just read through it, and people are like, wow, this guy was an asshole.
Yeah, or, you know, or maybe not. Or maybe it'd be cool. And there'd yeah. be a whole conversation. About, like,
it's like, man, this guy was great. Hashtag blessed.
And the conversation about, like, do we include app mentions? I don't know. That's a gray area for me. Like, dealer's choice on that one with the funeral.
See, I think this is what like can really differentiate people by age.
Uh-huh.
Because you said you're what, 27?
27, almost 28.
See, yeah. I'm almost 34.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like my parents would look at like Facebook and stuff
right.
very, very differently from how I look at it. Like, I'm still in that middle ground where it's like, okay, like, this stuff is going to be around for a while. People your age are like, this stuff just goes away.
Right.
It's like, you post it and it's done.
Yeah, well, okay, I think.
Like the Snapchat generation. I don't know if you're not that young.
No, I've never done the Snapchats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I think my sort of era, my little micro era, is the last generation, quote unquote, that remembers a time before the internet.
Right.
I remember
right.
it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember hooking up the thing and, like, getting an email address, like, deep into my adolescence. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
If you have that perspective that, like, you know, it wasn't always this way,
mm-hmm.
I think you can engage with it differently than. My brother's wife is a middle school librarian, and she was telling me the youngest kids that she, or the oldest kids that she have, no, let me see, this new generation of kids that is coming into her school,
yeah.
all of them are born after the year 2000.
Right.
So yeah. They will not have been existed without Napster. Forget about the internet.
Right. Right.
And so if you just take that as like the air around you,
uh-huh.
that, you know, this exists forever and ever, and, or not forever and ever, but, always.
Right.
I don't know how that would change the way you engage with it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It was very helpful. Instant messaging was super helpful as a teenager. For me?
Uh-huh.
Did you have that when you were?
No.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. That was a great way to talk to women or men. People of romantic interest to you.
I remember like when my parents first got like AOL.
Yeah.
Right? AOL was like the big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my parents first got internet, And of course, it was all dial up. And I went into my first chat room, and I was like, at that age, I was constantly hearing, I can't even remember what age I was, but you constantly hear like about all the, like the free porn that's mm-hmm. on the internet, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so I didn't know how to find it. So yeah. I was like, I went into the chat room labeled adult.
Right.
And was like, hey guys, you know, just another adult here. How do I find the free porn? Where's the free porn at? Thinking that because you're in a chat room labeled adult, everybody is talking about penis size
right.
and boobs.
But were they, you know? were they talking about? Like their 401ks?
Oh my God, dude. See, this is one of those things that causes anxiety in my memory because I can think back to like what people were like, get out of here. Like, you know, just right. like, you know, go to playboy.com, you fool.
Right.
And just, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and then I went to Playboy.com, and it was a pay site. You couldn't even get any free adult nudie pictures.
Adult nudie
lame.
Pictures.
A lame.
Is that what you call it instead of pornography? It's kind of old-timey. You sound
yeah,
like a newsie.
34!
Like, hey, I'm interested in some adult nudie pics. But not in the pics, pictures. Some photographs of a young buxom lass. Love to see.
Speaking of buxom lasses, we are drinking.
Can't wait to see where this is going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are drinking some fantastic, fantastic beer. Are you a beer fan?
I am a beer fan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like the good microbrews, Eric?
Well, I'm currently on a beer fast. But
okay.
When I do indulge, it is in tasty micros.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not too good for a domestic lager. But,
right.
But I enjoy them all, really.
Yeah,
they all do the trick.
But I gave you a little taste of the Crossfire IPA from Naked City Brewery.
Indeed.
What do you think? Pretty
it's
good, right?
Delicious. I mean, I hate to be the guy who says, it's hoppy, very hoppy. But it is. It is. I'm sorry. It tastes wonderful.
Yeah. It's one of the most smooth IPAs I think I've ever had. And you guys should try it out, too. Go to Naked City Brewery. .com or nakedcitybrewing.com and check out what they have to offer. You can also go and visit Naked City on Greenwood Avenue North here in Seattle.
What's the
place.
What's the cross street for them? I tutor in the neighborhoods. I'm curious.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see you got the 826 pin on your shirt. Is that where you tutor?
Indeed it is.
Yeah, so you're right at the space the Greenwood Space supply
right.
company, right?
That's correct.
I love that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right up the street from you, dude.
Whereabouts?
Yeah, it's right on Greenwood Avenue at 8564.
Oh, it's like literally just north of there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, just north on 80. Actually, it's probably like, let's see. What's the next one? What's the next one up? Is that 90th right there? No, 87th. 87th, yeah.
Yeah,
right before 87th. But yeah, great place, great people. They sponsor this show. And so show them some love. Go to their Facebook page, like them on Facebook, and tell them that you love this relationship between Naked City and the Air Raid podcast, because that will help us out, that helps Naked City out, and it helps you out as well, because you get that fantastic, fantastic beer and fantastic food. So go and check them out, nakedcitybrewing.com. Man, Eric.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So what's coming up for Cataldo?
What is coming up? We're playing our CD release show.
Yeah.
At the Tractor Tavern.
And when is that? That's in March, right?
The Tuesday the record is quote unquote released is March 4th, but the show is February 28th.
Oh, okay.
It's a Friday in Ballard.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's
coming up.
Yeah, pretty quick here. We're getting ready for that. We're doing a little mini tour. We're going to go to the Treefort Music Festival.
Yeah, over in Idaho.
Yep, over in Boise, and we're going to do some stuff to and from. And then summer will happen, and I'm going to try and play a festival. That's my goal. Never played a festival.
Do you know that they're taking submissions for Timber?
We just played at the Winter Timber.
Uh-huh.
I would happily play at the Summer Timber, but it is...
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
They would choose you for both. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I should try.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man.
I had a really good time at Timber. But I want to do some, like, all the cool summer stuff in Seattle we've never done before. Like, we never have played at Block Party or, like, the
Bumbershoot.
Bumbershoot, the thing at
like
the mural.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to start emailing people about that.
Yeah.
Now. That's my goal. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah. Well, man, keeping my fingers crossed for you guys. I want as many people to hear this album as possible because it is awesome.
Thanks, man.
It's so good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. There's the spirit of the people who've heard it is good.
Yeah.
I feel excited about it.
Yeah. So, any videos coming up? You're going to make a video?
We're working on that.
Are you?
It's crazy. I don't want to say too much.
Yeah.
But it'll be good.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm looking forward. What's it like making a music video?
Well, I don't really know. It's a short version. I did one kind of like a, it was a live thing that we made for our Kickstarter on the last record.
Oh, cool.
And it was a one-take-esque thing that this guy, Christian Sorensen Hansen, made. And it turned out really cool, in part because it was raining the whole time, but it meant that everyone had to just literally stand in the rain for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So that part of making a video, that particular one.
So it's like just super cold.
Yeah.
And wet.
I just had that one experience. And then we're in the middle of making.
So basically, making a video is awful.
Well, no, not at all. It was cold that time. Well, it's interesting that one of the, I don't want to spill the beans too much about this video.
Yeah, yeah,
one
yeah,
of the
yeah.
things I had to do was perform as if I'm, what should I say? I basically had to perform as if I'm the singer in a band in a sort of 3-square-foot space.
Okay.
With a lot of cameras all around me.
Gotcha.
For reasons that will become clear soon, so soon. and it was technically kind of sophisticated in that all these cameras had to coordinate and they had to go along with the track. And so there's like five, and it happened to be at Microsoft that we were doing this.
Oh, really?
Again, I think I'm teasing this pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
We are literally in the secret lab. So there's like maybe, how many people? Like 6 men looking at me. And we could only do it in 30-second chunks.
Whoa.
And that was a weird situation to pretend to perform music.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Now I'm very intrigued. When is this video supposed to come out?
Well, we'll
near
see.
It's probably after the release, right?
Yeah. Well, as soon as possible.
We're
trying to make it happen quickly. So.
Cool.
We'll see.
Well, send us some information. We'll push it out there as well.
I will.
Yeah. So where can we find information about shows? Cataldo News.
Yes. My
all that good stuff. Nude photos.
No.
Playboy.com.
What did you say? Nude. I can't remember what he said. Something
adult
old.
Nudie.
Adult nudie pictures. there are adult pictures, but just of me, an adult. On cataldomusic.com,
you
can pre-order the record and find all kinds of information
Excellent.
There.
Is that the best place to buy music?
Yeah, it connects straight to our Bandcamp, which connects straight to me. And
awesome.
I will write your address on an envelope. Then we have all the stuff. We have Facebook. We have Twitter.
Yeah.
I think they're all like / Cataldo Music. We're on the gram. I'm not a good Instagrammer.
I'm not either.
I'm just not visually attuned person.
Yeah.
I farmed that out on this record to extremely talented, wonderful people.
There you go.
And they've made me look pretty cool. But when it comes to my own Instagram, it's literally like, here's my cat for the fifth time.
I pretty much just do, hey, this is my cute kid.
Yeah.
That's it. You know?
Man, that's a reason enough to have a kid right there.
Oh, yeah.
Just
eat
up the whole Instagram world.
Totally.
That's all you really need to do.
And Facebook, really.
In a way, if you're posting other things, you're kind of a dickhead. You know? It's like, oh, really, man? Like, you're an adult with a child.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh, you got a cat?
You're posting
you
selfies.
You got a cat? Yeah. I got a human. I made a human.
Yeah.
A-hole. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show, Eric. It's been a pleasure talking with you and meeting you.
I've loved it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to feature one more song off of the new yet-to-be-released album. And what's the album called again?
Gilded Oldies.
Gilded Oldies, that's right. Fantastic, man. I love it so much. This song is called Good Religion, and you can hear it or buy it coming up. What, March 2nd is what you said? March 3rd?
I'm going to release it. I mean, it's dumb to play your CD release show with people not having the record. So I'm going to release it at some, release the pre-orders.
Okay.
At some time in late February.
Excellent.
So it'll be out there.
Yeah, so watch for that. Gilded Oldies. It's a fantastic record. You're going to want to own it for yourself. Once again, thank you, Eric.
Thank you
for coming
Aaron.
On the show.
Wonderful.
You can find us at www.air-raid.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And check out our archives page with all sorts of people. Go to the website, click on the Archives tab there at the top of the page, and you can scroll through 182 episodes, including Eric Anderson here from Cataldo. How about Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie, or Ben Haggerty, Macklemore? I mean, come on. Eddie Pepitone, Pete Holmes, Aisha Tyler, all sorts of great stuff there at www.air-raid.net. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. This is Good Religion by Cataldo, and we'll see you next time here on the Air Raid Podcast. Have a good week, everybody. And in this wicked place, your greatness crashes over me like waves into broken glass on the beach and washed up, wrapped in a cast off divinity. I've tripped on them as something cruel. I'm quite picky to claim they're not so luminous, because you've touched its skin and kicked up some dust. Well, the path in light isn't hard to trust when I'm